But Helen Ward is joining me from where in British Columbia, Helen?
Vancouver.
Vancouver, British Columbia. She has just written an article for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. She's also the president of KidsFirstCanada.org, okay? Kids First Parents Association of Canada. And the website is KidsFirstCanada.org. And you're going to learn a lot more about her, what she's doing, and the movement that has started and advocating, I'm sure, for justice for families, Helen. Now, your article, we've always been led to believe here in Ontario that there's a shortage of daycare spaces. There's extra subsidies, you know, that have been given to for daycare allocation here in Ontario. There's waiting lists, and you've done some research that says that vacancy rates, there's all kinds of spaces for daycare, particularly in the city of Toronto. How come we're hearing from our government that the official stand is that they need more money for daycare? What's going on here?
Well, this data has been around for a long time. I was aware of it back in 2000 from a big report that was done by the daycare lobby people called You Bet I Care. In that report, they said that the vacancy rates were so high that it was threatening the financial stability of the centers. Over 50% of daycares in Canada in this massive study that it had daycare vacancies. And that was the first that I ever heard of daycare vacancies. I was shocked.
But that's 15 years ago.
Oh, no, but back then they were still saying terrible shortage, crisis.
Oh, okay. So in the midst of these incredible vacancies,
yeah.
You know, and to the point where daycares were almost going under,
yeah.
You know, you got government saying, oh, there's a shortage.
Yeah. And because when you say a shortage, then that's to get the funding. It's a strategy to get more funding. I mean, and the Toronto data, like back in about 2006 or 7, I happened to come across on the Toronto Child Services website, they used to list every single center and all the vacancies for every single center, and they even had maps to show you. And this was to help parents who were looking for a space in a daycare center to find a space, because they could just see, oh, this place has got, I'll call them because they got vacancies. But since then, I mean, I wrote a few reports about it and put them on our website, and somehow since then that data has been taken off the Toronto Child Services website.
So in other words, Toronto Child Services website, they don't let people know what spaces are available anymore, even though there is all sorts of spaces available for kids.
Yeah, they collect the data. When I was getting ready to do this report, I contacted them and I said, do you have that information? Because it was really helpful in the past. And they said, no, you have to phone every center yourself.
Oh, my.
But I suspected that they were still gathering the data. So we did find it eventually on the Toronto Go data. They've got a data, open data kind of thing. And they didn't tell us the right place to go, but we did find it anyway. And then we calculated the vacancy rates. So you got daycare vacancy rates of about 3.6 to 6.6% over the last, since 2009.
Now hold it now. You got 3.6 to 6%. Vacancy rates in daycare, even up to date as to right now.
Yeah, that's over 3,000 available spaces last fall. Like,
and yet for rental apartments in Toronto, the vacancy rate is 1.6%.
Yeah, so you got,
so you got four times as many spaces available for daycare spots as you do for rentals in Toronto. Okay, so who's the culprit here? Who's doing the lying? What's the agenda here? This is wrong. This is a scandal.
Well, for me, it's the suppression of relevant data. Like, if you're a policymaker or a politician, you rely on your advisors to give you the data, and they're just not doing that. And it's not just that there's high vacancies; there's low enrollment. This is another factor that, I mean, when I ask people what percentage of kids do you think are in daycare centers, you know, little kids under six or so, people typically start at 50% and go higher, and that's wrong. Actually, there was a Staff Canada report last year. It said about 18% of children 0 to 4 are in daycare centers.
18%.
And that's probably a bit high. When we actually dug into the hard data ourselves, we found it's more like 14%.
So who's fudging the data? Who's who's hiding it? Who are the culprits here?
I mean, it's Toronto Child Services, and it's Stats Canada, and it's the daycare proponents themselves. I mean, Stats Canada, I mean, that report that I'm talking about was published last December. I mean, you won't read in it that it's 18%. You'll say the headline is 54% of children are in child care, but that means any form of non-parental care for any length of time at all. So, and then you break down, then they say, oh, 33% of those are in daycare centers. You have to multiply. So one-third of 54%.
You do the math, it gets down to 18%, doesn't it?
Yes, and because they never do it for you. The same thing back in 2006, South Canada, another big daycare report, and the statistics of the headlines and all the papers, 54% of kids in childcare, and they never actually, they in their report, they never actually put out the actual figure. That was when, the, you know, the
So, Ellen, you're a bit of an editorialist. Speculate for us here. What's to gain here by them doing this, and who's gaining?
Well, the gain is that it supports the idea that's false, that there's a high demand for daycare and a shortage of supply, and that parents want it and they need it and they can't find it. There's all these waiting lists. I mean, of course, you can get on a waiting list years before you actually want it. You can go as many wait lists. The Toronto Child Care Subsidy, the fee subsidy form that you can fill in, there's actually a the child's name. You can actually choose the name unborn.
So, but who's gaining by not being honest? Who's getting the advantage because of this?
Well, the daycare lobby consists of in three broad groups. One is the labor unions. The other is the
so child care workers represented by the unions. Okay,
yeah, and then there's I call them the '70s feminists, the second wave feminists who've been advocating for more daycare since the '70s. You know. And then there's the other people who advocate for daycare more discreetly behind the scenes are the corporate sector advocates like the World Bank, the Economist magazine's been a big proponent of more daycare subsidies for a long time, the OECD, Rand Corporation.
But there's money being made here, lot of money being made.
Yeah.
And there doesn't have to be that kind of money if they were just being transparent and honest. And, I mean, is there a governing group that can rein these fraudsters in?
Well, that would be the government.
Okay, so you're talking the provincial government, if they wanted to, they could put an end to this immediately.
Well, they'd have to know these facts, and trying to get these facts to them is challenging.
Well, now, hold it. How do you know they don't know those facts and they don't want to know them? How do we know they're not part of, you know, these lobbying groups that are hiding this information?
Well, I think, the politicians are surrounded by advisors, and in this field, it's highly politicized. Like, if you're in the branch of the government that deals with these kinds of issues, the people around you, your workers, your advisors, they're all tend to be highly committed to this cause. I mean, like some years ago, I met with the minister out here in BC, and I mean, she was surrounded by daycare lobbyists, and you know, she probably was one herself.
So we have no reason to believe it's any different here in Toronto. Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, if people want to get elected, I mean, it's not actually true that there's a huge demand and a shortage of supply. So
your dog's even upset about it.
Yeah, the dog's upset. So
I mean, this is as bad as deleting emails with information in them that you don't want the public to know about.
Information that they don't let out either about the quality of the care and the ratios are inadequate to meet children's needs and developmental, you know, needs and learning needs. They don't want that information to be circulated in the general media or to the parents.
How do we know they don't have partners in media as well, who know very well what's going on, but they refuse to publish data this?
Well, yeah. Well, actually, with one of the reporters that the IMFC contacted, trying to get this information out, just said that the research doesn't make sense. I mean, this is not actually original research. It's just like I'm just exposing research that's done by Stats Canada.
It's already done by credible, credible people, isn't it?
I'm just publishing their numbers.
I'm not
making up things.
Helen, what can people who don't like being lied to, who don't like being ripped off, what can they do about this?
Well, they can demand that the facts be shared. They can tell their elected representatives or people who want to be elected, because if politicians think that funding daycare is a vote winner, they are sadly mistaken. And we'd like to see all the parties competing, to respect all forms of child care. I mean, we define child care and early learning as the care and learning that a child does. That's all. Whereas the daycare lobby wants to define child care as licensed daycare centers, and they want the money to flow there. They don't want the money to flow to families. We say the money should follow the child, because when you pour all that money, we're talking like billions and billions of dollars in Canada, into spaces, and the child might not be in a space because it's either vacant or the child's sick or you can't use that space because you don't want it or because your work schedule doesn't fit with the center's schedule, then you'll leave it to Beaver 9 to 5, Monday to Friday schedule. Not every family's in that boat. So we say the money should flow to the families, and that's the winning policy.
Oh, you can't put money back in the hands of families. That's just not, at least in Ontario, that's not Chairman Wynne's way here. She doesn't do that, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there's one more thing here. It seems, and I quote your article because I just want to make sure I'm getting it right here. This funding is funneled to a select minority of families who use daycare centers. A 2014 Statistics Canada study states that about 65% of parents with annual household income of at least $100,000 used non-parental child care for their preschooler, compared to only 34% of households with an annual income below $40,000. As a result, daycare funding is more likely to offset costs for wealthier families. So the people that are benefiting from daycare subsidies are, you know, the rich, and the poor are not getting any benefit at all from this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I am a low-income single mother, so one reason that my income is low is because I, you know, don't put as much time into paid work as I do into unpaid work, right? So when you make that choice, you're foregoing income, and so that's an opportunity cost. So it lowers your income. So when they're putting money into daycare centers that are, you know, used more by higher income people, I mean, they're higher income because they're doing more paid work because they're not doing as much of the child care work. So it's totally, I mean, people who are on the left, like I tend to be, and on the concerned about social justice, I mean, what you're doing is robbing the poor to pay the rich.
It's obvious. I mean, yeah. And you know, supposedly our Liberal government here in Ontario would want to plead that case, but that the very people they pretend to represent are being ripped off by the system here.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the thing about parents is that, you know, especially lower-income parents and that, I mean, we're not organized as a group to advocate for anything. I mean, what the daycare lobby does is they assume to speak for parents, and they especially assume to speak for low-income single mothers, whereas they don't. They just speak on your behalf without your consent. And you know, the policies that they want, I mean, some of these leading proponents, and Martha Friendly, I mean, I could go on and on, they're not low-income people. They don't experience that. They have different choices and preferences, and that's fine. But when they're speaking on my behalf and using, like, my situation to push their agenda, that's, you know, pretty offensive. I'd call it misogynistic because, you know, I want to look after my own kids myself. I don't want to put them in, I never have daycare center care.
It seems that their agenda is making them a lot more comfortable. Helen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get your article. We're going to tweet it out there and make it available at least to everybody that's listening, and hopefully we can get it going viral and, you know, stir up some support for, you know, facts like this that are not getting out and need to get out. So appreciate you taking the time, writing the article, fighting the good fight, and wish you the best on this. And thanks for taking the time to talk to us about it tonight, okay?
Thank you, John. Have a great night.
Helen Ward, she's the president of Kids First Parents Association of Canada. That's kidsfirstcanada.org. And as soon as I can, I will tweet out the article. It's not very long, okay? But there's pertinent information there and some contact info that you need to be aware of, in particular if you're somebody that's been struggling with, the misuse of our tax money here in Ontario, you know, that's benefiting an elite few and disregarding and ignoring the people that need the services the best.